So you're in the Joe Grand opening warm-up act, or GoPro, or get the fuck out, which they wouldn't say in the marketing promotions for this. This is a fairly short talk, but Todd and I have basically been working on messing around with these cool, awesome cameras. So
for 20 minutes.
In 20 minutes. Which we actually just, for 20 minutes before the talk,
worked. Our entire research project is 40 minutes long, including this talk.
Right. So our agenda, the intro that, which we will cover.
Entourage, motherfuckers, do you speak it?
Wow, only a 20-minute talk, and he just lost three of it. That's too bad.
This is completely expected.
You should have showed up prepared for this.
Why are we here?
Shit.
Why are we here?
Yeah, why are we here?
We are here. Yeah.
We figure that they have spot the Fed. We have shot the noob.
Noob has a number of meanings, and so there's only one that applies.
We also need somebody from the audience who's a new person. You, sir.
Preferably a female. Oh,
see,
well, close
once
enough.
Again, the...
close enough. It's all
right. He's midway through
Come
the change.
Stage.
Come on up.
I'll take two. Oh, okay.
You know, guys try to act like they're going to make you drink, but they won't give you two. You know, I mean, I don't know. I guess ticket prices are going to be a little higher next year, y'all. Okay.
Oh, see, now you have 4 minutes left.
Damn it. All right.
That's all right, because we didn't really have the material.
All right, shut up and drink.
Go for a GTFO.
Woo!
Thank you, young lady.
Did I get a GoPro?
I thought about it, but no, you don't. The young lady might have gotten the GoPro, but
you know. Yeah.
This is traffic.
Bring more booze next time, fellas. Right. Yeah.
Okay, so continuing on. So we'll have our brief intro. If we basically didn't already do that while drinking. We'll talk a little bit about the GoPro. Due to time limitations, we're going to kind of gloss over some stuff. We're going to cite previous research because we're not the first ones to mess with this, but we want to give credit where credit is due. We'll talk a little bit about what we've done so far, and we're certainly not finished, as well as some of the things that have kind of come out of this this research up to this point. We'll talk a little bit about what we're going to do next, and then finally we'll conclude with a bunch of useless slides. So first, Todd.
What's up? I'm Todd Manning, senior research consultant at Acuvant Labs, horror for hire, you know. I used to work at Breaking Point managing their security research team, and now I turn it over to my co-presenter.
Hi, I'm Zach Lanier, or some of you know me as Quine. I'm also a senior research consultant. I guess we would have whistled at? That's awesome. I'm not even wearing a dress this year.
He is wearing panties, though.
Backwards. I'm also a senior research consultant with Acuvant Labs, just old-timey net web app mobile pen tester guy. Anyway, so why did we pick the GoPro? Because Todd wanted to.
Because I had one, basically.
It's an incredibly popular camera. I'm sure some of you have seen it out in the wild, used in music videos featuring scantily clad men and women. And skateboarders who put them on their skateboards and fall a lot, like me. It's Wi-Fi enabled, which was attractive because it's got all these cool features on it that you can use your phone to control the camera. One of the more interesting facts is there's a company called Ambarella that makes these eponymously named SoCs that are used not only in the GoPro but also in commercial security installations, which we found to be intriguing. So that's another future research thing. We focus mainly on the GoPro Hero 3 Black Edition, which is what we've got up here. So a lot of the details that will be in here will apply, but some of the hardware is a little bit different, as we'll kind of see a little bit later. And plus, it's really extreme. I can't say that with much more emphasis, but...
I can.
It's fucking extreme.
Mountain Dew. So, anyway. So, an overview of the GoPro. It features an Ambarella, mistyped, A770 camera SoC. So they basically just stamped this SoC with like an ARM V6 core, with all of like all the other usual things you'd expect, JTAG, UART, blah 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 blah. Their IOs for their light sensors and accelerometer, whatever. And then they put this stupid LCD on it. And then they put on this Atheros wireless controller, which has Bluetooth, but they don't use it. I don't know why. And there's a bunch of other stuff that's really not relevant to security or hacking this thing. But in any case, it has a lot of stuff that's not used, all packed into this tiny little form factor.
Okay, I'll do this. I figured it was my turn to talk. Okay, so one interesting thing, the first thing that we kind of found when we busted this camera open, it runs two operating systems, not just one. So two for the price of one. One is the iTron embedded operating system. It's kind of like this open source sort of real-time operating system standard, really. So the version that runs on here is kind of one implementation to the standard developed by a Japanese academic. In the 90s, I guess. So it's primarily responsible for the operation of the camera, so capturing images, doing encoding of video, that kind of thing. And then it also runs Linux kernel version 2.6.38. So the way the real-time OS works, if you guys know about that, typically there's like, you know, a bunch of threads that are all doing different things. One thread is dedicated to running Linux, and so... basically, the Linux operating system is on there to run some of the sort of higher order functions that deal with remote control of the camera via mobile application, that kind of thing. Two operating systems. There's a private network that runs in between the two. The networking address is given here, 10.9.9/24. The real-time operating system side runs one web server that kind of handles certain requests. Actually, it looks like it serves up some of the preview mode files, and then the Linux side runs the version of the open source Cherokee web server that handles actually taking requests from the mobile remote control applications, and then passes commands from that on to the real-time operating system via a mechanism we'll describe shortly. Yeah, so some previous research, right? So looking into this camera, it's like, somebody's got to know something about it, right? Otherwise, we're screwed. So the OG of GoPro kind of like dissection is this cat called Evil Wombat. Hangs out on this the GoPro user forum. Super real friendly guy that I've talked to, real willing to give information about how it works. He's developed a number of open source tools that are available on GitHub/EvilWombat. He's got, he's an ARM firmware developer is all he's told me. I know he lives on the West Coast. Other than that, I haven't really talked to him for more than just a few hours. Stop dropping docs. Okay. Anyhow, sorry about that. Let's see. So in his repository, he's got like tools for breaking apart the firmware updates that come from GoPro, so that you can kind of like do some further analysis yourself. Breaks them up into different sections. He's got a tool that will let you connect to USB and then boot your own custom Linux kernel, so that if you brick your camera like I've done, you can ostensibly unbrick it. There are some cases where that doesn't actually work, but yeah, he, real nice guy that has made some tools, and so, you know, we've stood on the shoulders of at least, you know, one giant, and that would be Evil Wombat. So if you're here, man, I'll buy you, like, dinner and a drink and, you know, take you to a movie. You're a real sweet person.
Go ahead. So one of the things that Evil Wombat provided was this autoexec.ash script, which we mentioned here, and that's for the Amberella shell. So if you put that onto the SD card, at the root of the SD card in the GoPro, it'll basically auto-exec whatever you put in there. So
it wasn't that he provided it. It's rather he discovered that the camera will execute a script called autoexec.ash that's in the root of the SD card. And so there are a number of, like, commands that you can provide, and he can't kind of give us our foothold into understanding what it was that we could do, you know, with the camera by doing that.
That's better. And so one of the things is this. There's actually a command in the Amberella shell called T, and it does a lot of low-level control of the RTOS. And in this case, it actually this what you see down at the very bottom, this T app test USB RS 232 1 sets that it'll just basically provide a serial console over USB. So it gives you this access to the RTOS's Amberella shell. One of the things that you should, there's a slew of commands in there that we can't even go through in even 30 minutes. But one of the things you shouldn't do is run, as someone did, the T NAND op erase command, which successfully bricks your camera. So, you know, don't do that.
Yeah, I would say don't do that. When you run that command, you know, and that heinous deleting all the NANDs comes up, you don't die right at that moment, but when you reboot, you really wish you hadn't. Let me just put it that way.
One of the other commands that Evil Wombat shared, or discovered and shared, was this LU util command. And what this effectively does is allows the RTOS to talk to the Linux task over this IPC channel. And one of the things that it does is there's an exec parameter, and that will effectively allow the RTOS to instruct Linux to execute any command as root, like you do. So in this case, these snippets here, as provided in, effectively by Evil Wombat, kill the Cherokee web server and start telnet D listening on 80, because 8080 externally is forwarded to 80 internally on Linux. So that's really the only port that you can, one of the only ports you can get to externally on the Linux internal operating system. So effectively, it just kills Cherokee and runs telnet on 80, which drops you directly into a root shell. Like you do. So, you know, we are here. Hey, cool. We got root on a camera. Yay. Everyone go home. Todd's a badass. So a little bit about the methodology and kind of findings that we did. One of the first things that we actually looked at while maybe drinking was looking at the GoPro app mode of the camera. So it runs in one of two modes, Wi-Fi remote or GoPro app, the first of which is this GoPro app mode. And that allows you to install a Linux or iOS app on your device. The camera acts as an access point. You associate with it with your mobile device of choice, and it connects to those two web servers. The web server that it talks to on 80 is the one running in iTron that it uses as a control channel and for retrieving and setting configuration directives. And then on 8080, it actually retrieves this streaming preview. And what's interesting about this is, and by the way, the Wi-Fi backpack uses 10.5.5.9. There are a few interesting things about this. One, it uses MDNS for discovery, as what we kind of observed, but it connects to 10.5.5.9 anyway. That's hard-coded in there, so I don't know if it's a fallback or what, but whatever. The other thing is that it uses MPEG-TS for streaming of the preview video, but what it does is it continually retrieves this playlist, like an MUA file or whatever. And in that file, each time our 8.3-second video files that it retrieves, so it's not really streaming the data directly so much as just retrieving these, like, you know, 0.3-second files, playing one, retrieving the next one, playing that, retrieving the next one, playing that, retrieving the playlist again, and then retrieving a new set of files, and this just kind of rotates through. You can actually just point QuickTime or VLC or whatever insecure media player you like at the MUA file and effectively just stream the preview video from the camera, kind of turning it into a, you know, surveillance device if you so actually were able to authenticate and associate with it.
We'd ask that the NSA not avail themselves of that offensive technology, please.
Right. So the other mode that's notable is the Wi-Fi remote mode, and this one we actually find to be a little more interesting, which you know we can discuss in the hallway track. In this case, the Wi-Fi remote, which I don't know if we have with us, it's the smaller device, a little keychain device. In this case, the camera acts as a mobile station or client and associates to the AP, which is the remote. When you first pair them, it just scans for any for an ESS ID of Hero-RC-XXXXX, where those are the last three octets of the of a given remote. Once it's paired, it'll record that information and prefer that, but you can always pair it to a new remote. So you can draw your own conclusions as to what attacks might be possible there. It's also totally open. There's no security whatsoever, so you can just associate with a remote if you see one. We're still sort of exploring what the implications are about attacking the remotes, but anyway. Network attack surface. The Cherokee web server runs as root, even though it listens on an unprivileged port on the Linux side of things. We noticed that there are absolutely no additional mitigations. The compiler options and the linker options are available, like, on the file system of the camera, so you can totally have fun there. The executable base itself is not randomized, so, you know, reliability of a payload is not really difficult if you find a bug, which some people might have. So we're like at 5 minutes, so. Itron side.
Okay, so like we said, two web servers. On the real-time OS side, on the Itron side, there are these URLs that you can that the remotes connect to engage different behavior of the camera itself. Some are configuration type commands that will reconfigure capture settings for the camera that will start recording, stop recording, that kind of thing. Basically, once you connect to the Wi-Fi access point, you can just hit these in a browser and kind of reconfigure the camera willy-nilly. We're working on a Ruby-based library that basically acts as the control. And then it passes the passphrase in, and I haven't found the code path that cares about that, and I'm not sure why that happens, but it seems kind of silly. I mean, I guess it's, the key is protected by WPA, so whatever, but yeah, it seems kind of strange. And basically once you, if you were to find a bug, in either the real-time OS or the Linux side, I guess from the real-time OS side, you're done. If you find like a Cherokee bug, for instance, then you've got some work to do there to bridge the gap over to the real-time OS side. So, in terms of local attack surface, again, everything runs as root, so there is no privilege separation. Everything except for all the libraries are loaded at randomized addresses. The web server itself, so Cherokee and the Cherokee worker load their images at hex 8000. There's actually a couple of sections that get mapped there. 8000 and then like hex 8300. It runs BusyBox, so there are some useful, BusyBox utilities there, but there's no, build tools or no Netcat. Sometimes you see that on, like, random BusyBox devices. I feel like you want to break in there, my friend.
So basically it's just in the ASLR is enabled system-wide, but the pretty much every executable base is mapped at a static address, or always mapped at static addresses, so it's not terribly difficult to get, like, reliable code exec.
I feel like I had already said that actually, but maybe not. There are a number of like interesting quote unquote services that are running. A couple of them listening on TCP ports 7878 and 7877. They handle JSON. One of them handles JSON formatted messages from the Itron side, which I thought was kind of strange. It's their mechanism of communicating across like these two operating systems. So they share the same memory and they're kind of using like this queue based message passing thing. And hey, it's a great time to talk about that.
So So the we're like two we have like 2 minutes left, so we'll probably breeze through all this. Whatever, running IPCS-P, we see that there are these message queues that are that are there, and they point to this AmbaMQ handler, which is the Ambarella message queue handler, which is for receiving and sending messages from Linux to iTron. Worth exploring. There on the Ambarella or the iTron side, in AMP shell, you can run IPC prog. I know it's probably hard to read, but it just spits out like 1,000 bajillion lines of all these different IPC programs that are registered. So it's kind of like Sun RPC-ish. There's like a program ID that maps to a specific program that's actually listening in this IPC channel. And that's basically all we're going to talk about for there because we're running out of time. Future research, remote monitoring, legitimate monitoring using like bespoke or third-party clients, using the camera to spy. That sounds really cool. Next thing would be to dump firmware from the Wi-Fi remote, as well as deal with this fancy little GoPro 30-pin bus interface, which is remarkably similar to the Apple iPod 30-pin connector, and it uses things for like LCD and a bunch of other stuff. Backdoors, persistence, blah, blah, blah. So with that, we're going to be releasing code eventually, maybe like, I don't know, tomorrow when we're sober, at github.com/quine/GoPro GTFO. So watch that space. Over the next couple months, we'll have some stuff up there. And finally, if you want to reach us, tmanning on Twitter, quine on Twitter, or email us. And then these are really cool people down at the bottom. And if you aren't on that, and you should be, we're really sorry. We're out of time, so we'll take questions in the hallway track, I guess. Thank you for coming, the lovely Todd.